Listen, you know the sermon's gonna be good when it begins in a bar, right there. No, listen, it is hard to believe that 19 years ago, I stood on this stage with my wife then and our girls then, and here we are 19 years later. I came to become your student minister. I was gonna be pastor over middle school and high school, and that's what we arrived on, and I love it that here I am 19 years later with my wife, still by my side. I didn't lose her along the way, and we're coming into year 29 together. Come on. We were able to get Hannah on an airline ticket yesterday to get home to be with us today, to get the whole band back together. And then I have my Lexi, my Sydney, and my Elijah there on the end. And listen, I am Pastor Todd Gaston. Here we go. No, listen, 19 years ago, I was standing on this stage holding Sydney. She had a purple cast on her foot. She had jumped off bunk beds before we came up here. Yeah, CPS was called in on that one too to make sure I didn't do anything funny there. And then Pam was holding Lexi. She was literally 2 months old. And then Hannah was standing right next to our sides here, and we had this God-given assignment. And who would have thought 2.5 years later, I was gonna become the lead pastor here at this church? I say that because as I started, I had no vision for that. 10 months into being here, our lead pastor steps down. We had a year and a half search trying to see what God was gonna do next. And you trusted me to be your pastor. I mean, I was 35 years old. I know I had hair then, but 35 years old when D. Witten handed that baton to me, the former pastor, and I'm just telling you, 19 years later, wow, God has been faithful. I love that we sang that song today. God has been faithful. And that's who gets all the praise for today. But today I did invite my family to kind of begin the message up here with me because, you know, when you're preacher kids, you get talked about a lot. And sometimes you think the talking is out there, you know, you heard about those kids. No. Usually the talking's about me on stage. And I've often been quoted, my kids said, "Dad, if you didn't talk about us on a Sunday morning, the sermons would be shorter and they wouldn't be as interesting. So you need to start paying us every time you talk about us." And trust me, they get paid. They get paid a lot. Y'all parents out there, y'all know what that is, right? No, but listen, it is a sacrifice, and I realize the sacrifice it is for my kids. And so I thought today, listen, guys, I've talked about y'all a lot. Y'all got a microphone right there. Y'all can correct the stories right now today. Actually, before we go any further, I've asked my oldest daughter to pray for us today. Pray for your pastor today. It is an emotional day, as we already felt in this last service, and I don't want to get in the way of what God wants to do. There's a verse that I quote a lot of times on Sunday morning, John 3:30. I must decrease so that he can increase. And I pray today that we have an awesome encounter with a holy living God today. Come on, pray for us, Hannah.
God, thank you for today. Thank you for being here in your presence, Lord. Again, just like we sang, it's all because of you, Lord. We're here today because of you. And I pray that we continue to be faithful as my family moves to Florida and as we see what steps you have before us. And we pray over the mount, you've been here and you will be here. And so we thank you for being with us all these days. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, guys. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I forget this last hour. I wanted to gift you guys something today, and so I brought flowers for all of y'all today. I got pink for Hannah, purple for my Sid, yellow for my little Lou, and then Pam gets the most because she's my wife. And I gave Eli, I knew you wouldn't want flowers. I got you Slim Jims, bro. That's better, man. It's edible. Come on, y'all, let me bless my family one more time. Thank you, guys. Awesome. I told them on this last Sunday, I wanted them here all morning, and they said, 8 o'clock, are you sure, Dad? Yeah, I wanted them to get a feel of what a Sunday morning feels like here, and so I'm so grateful for them today being here with us and for us. Listen, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 20, and we are gonna hit some good stuff in the Word of God today, because that's what matters more than me, is God having a word with all of us. There's a lot that I could share. Matter of fact, I thought about this. What do you say after being at a church for 19 years? That's a long sermon. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, buckle up. No, actually, y'all are good. You came to the middle hour, which you know that there's got to be another service coming in, so there'll be at least some kind of stop time out there. Hey, Pastor Andrew, come on, Fredericksburg, you are such a gift. I'm so grateful how God's multiplying our church. And this afternoon with El Monte, God is at work in his bride here at the Mount, and we're not the same church that we were years ago. There's a lot of changes that happen, even physically in this own room, and we've gotten to witness some of these changes over time. But the greatest change is the work in the hearts of people. The greatest change is people coming to know the Lord, people letting go of sins and past and brokenness and hurt and coming to life in Jesus Christ. That's the real change worth celebrating today. And it has been such an honor to be your pastor in these days. And I know this, I'm eternally marked because of you in my life. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. But today, I thought about a lot of places we could be in the Bible. And I'm just going to borrow Paul's words, because Paul was just such a man of God that was fierce in the movement of God. Now, if you're new to the Bible or you don't know, in the New Testament, you find this guy named Paul who begins with the name Saul. He thought he was living for God. He thought he was doing the right thing, trying to stop this movement called the Way, the followers of Jesus Christ, the Way. But yet what he finds is on the road to Damascus, God wrecks Paul, and Paul goes to his knees. He loses his sight for 3 days, and in that moment, he trusts Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. Now again, name change. He becomes Paul. And Paul, the apostle, ends up becoming a missionary in those early days. And he ends up planting multiple churches in the ancient world. Matter of fact, 2/3 of the New Testament are dedicated because God used Paul to actually give them to us. Matter of fact, the place that he lived the longest was a place called Ephesus. Ephesian church was a church that was near and dear to Paul's life. He even dedicates a letter later when he writes back to the church of Ephesus, known in the book of Ephesians. But today, we're gonna be in Acts because it's still the movement of the church. And why I picked up in Acts is because at this moment, he calls the leaders of the church of Ephesus together, and he gives them some final words when he's in front of them. And he knows he's never going to physically return again. And he wants to give a farewell. And as I read these words again this week, I thought, these are the perfect words to leave with you. Not Pastor Todd's words, but the word of God together with us. Come on, are y'all excited today? God is going to speak something to us. Let's keep our hearts open to what he wants to say. Listen up, chapter 20, let's just begin right here in verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, to come to him. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know that I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day until I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of many opponents, many Jewish opponents against me. And you know that I did not hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful to you." Man, I want that to be my testimony, that I didn't hesitate to preach anything that would be helpful to you. "And you know that I taught publicly, and I also taught house to house. And here's what I declared. I declared both to the Jewish people," which I am Jewish, Paul says, "and I also proclaimed to the Gentiles," or the Greeks, "that they must turn to God in repentance and they must have their faith in the Lord Jesus." I love this message. Turn to God and repent and to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Hey, today in the minutes that I have with you today, I want to encourage you like Paul does to these leaders in this church. Because see, what he's wanting to give to the people that day is hope. He knows he's physically going to leave, but he doesn't want the door of hope to be shut. He wants them to know that their next step ahead is just like his next step ahead. It's the step of hope. And if that was ever true for Paul in his day, to those people then and there, it is true today for you, for me, for us. Our next step, church, is hope. Come on, do you believe that? That's what God has in front of us today. But here's what gets tricky. We lose sight of hope. Situations happen. Circumstances happen. Things like to block out hope. But can I tell you, hope could be present even when you can't see it. And hope could be present even when you don't feel it. Listen, if we ever had a backdrop of a last year and a half, the enemy's tried to block out hope from our minds. The enemy doesn't want us to see and feel hope, but I'm here today to declare over you today, house of God, don't lose hope. It's our next step. It's our next step. Can I give you some practical things to do to help us not lose hope in our personal lives and to not lose hope as a church? Come on, note takers. Number one, we gotta look back. We gotta look back. That's what he's telling them to do right here in the Word of God. He's calling them to look back. Now, here's the humble reminder that I've had over the last few weeks, ever since I announced I was leaving, is I got a chance to look back on the Mount Ararat story. A church that began in 1907. You know why I like that stat? Because this church was here long before I was here. And that tells me this church, by God's grace alone, will be here long after I'm gone. This church is something God is building. Now, we've done a lot of campaigns over the years since I've been your pastor. One of the earliest campaigns, right when I became the lead pastor in 2005, is to help raise the vision and some resources so that we could build a building to help us to reach the next generation. So we did raise money, and we did build a building, like about a $12 million project where we built this people street, we built preschool space, we built elementary theaters and space up there, we built Next Step Connection spaces, and we tried our best to keep making a difference in this local community for the kingdom of God. And I wondered if you were even here during those steps of faithfulness. Well, here's kind of funny thing is I was reviewing all these pictures and seeing moments, and one of them was the video that we made back in 2008 that tells kind of the narrative of the Mount Ararat story. Because I know some of y'all are new to the Mount and you don't know the whole history. Let me give you the whole history here in about a minute. Watch this. God began writing the story of Mount Ararat back in 1907. Seven faithful men stepped forward in faith, and they began this work called Mount Ararat. In 1920, transportation to the church was only by foot, horseback, or buggy. And due to poor road conditions, Sunday school could only meet from April to December because of the weather. Still, by 1920, the congregation had about 50 members. In 1942, Quantico Marine Base expanded, initiating a new life cycle for Stafford and Mount Ararat. New families moved into the area, changing the face of Stafford. From 1953 to 1985, we saw a lot of changes. Mount Ararat called her first full-time pastor, enlarged the original building, and had a new sanctuary built on the 3 acres purchased. In 1989, 25 acres was purchased. And in 1994, a 700-seat worship center and recreational space was built. Attendance nearly tripled over the next 3 years. From 2005 to 2008, Reaching Beyond Ourselves campaign laid the foundation for this next phase of Mount Ararat growth. And in February of 2009, we await the dedication and the opening of our new education building and People Street. Come on, God has been faithful, hasn't he? Hey, just curious, at both campuses, how many of you were a part of the church back in 2008? How many of y'all were here and maybe even remember that video? Yeah, there's lots of hands here in this hour. Praise God. Listen, the rest of us, you know, as we kind of begin to think about this story, you know, you're part of something greater that God is telling here, and we get to kind of see kind of a snapshot of that. But if we don't look back, we don't get reminded of that. I believe it's important for us to look back. Matter of fact, each of us has a story. I wondered for you when you would look back. Look back at your own life. Listen, we're a church that we say we want to make a difference to make it cleaner and clearer. We've been talking about making a difference as a church. We say we're a church that is for one more. That's been our rally cry for the last several years, that we are for one more. But listen, when we talk about being for one more, it gets personal. And let me ask you the question, do you remember when you were the one? Do you remember when you were the one that God moved mountains to reach? Man, I love it. I was 14 years old. Man, I was angry at the world. My mom and my stepdad just got divorced. I was a wreck. I was living in Texas. I was living 1607 Phyllis Court, Irving, Texas, 75060, right there at the end of these cul-de-sac. And in that street, the one constant thing is that we never moved. My childhood, we stayed there my whole childhood. And praise God for the Britton family, my neighbors, that saw a teenage boy that needed to be reached for Jesus Christ. It was my relationship, my trust with them that opened my heart to the good news of Jesus Christ. I received their invitation to go with them to their church. By going to their church, I heard about God's amazing love for my life. I experienced God's amazing grace in my story. And I surrendered my life at 14 and I said, yes, Lord, here am I, save me. And I became a Christian at 14. Do you realize if that never happened in my life, I would not be here with you today. Listen, we gotta go back sometimes. We gotta look back sometimes. Listen, that's my salvation story, but what's yours? When were you the one? I want you to think about that. And maybe today, you're watching today from somewhere out there, or maybe with us today, and you don't have that story. I would add yet, because today, maybe you're the one. You see, when we go back, That's what David in the Psalms writes to us. He says, restore to me the joy of what? My salvation. You see, David had to go back sometimes and be reminded of how grateful he is and what Jesus Christ has done in his life. And by going back, it gave him the strength to sustain him. I believe God wants us to go back because then it begins to motivate us of what we're doing and trying to go forward. It reminds us of what our mission is. We are for one more. So guess what? Who is your one that God wants to use you to reach? I thought about that several years ago because in my own neighborhood, people move in and people move out. People come and people go, just like your neighborhoods, right? But several years back, I had a young teenage boy living across the street with me, and his parents went through a real messy divorce. And in that season, I identified with that because that's where I was when I met the Lord. So I started to reach out to this young man named Tim. And in the course of our friendship, he started to come to our church. In the course of a Sunday, he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Listen, that was good then, but who's your one now? Who's my one now? Come on, who's my one at work? Who's my one at school? Who's your one? Who's your one in your neighborhood? Who's your one in your extended family that you're praying for, that you're believing in, that's gonna trust in Jesus to be their Lord and Savior? Listen, Christians, we should always have our one that we're praying for. Do you have a one? If not today, I want you to find that person in the next 7 days and start praying for them. But you don't get that until you look back. Now, before we go any further, let me give you two pitfalls that happen sometimes with our past. Number one is when we get amnesia and we forget where we came from. Don't forget where you came from, because you can be grateful for the grace that God gave to reach you. But there's another pitfall you can fall into when you look back, and it's called nostalgia. Y'all know what nostalgia is? It's when we worship the things of the past. Here in Stafford, they got a phrase called Stafford All-Star. And affectionately talks to the person that won't let go of high school. Listen, high school was good and then and there, but if you're in your 30s still wearing your Letterman jacket and showing up on Friday nights, that might be troubling, right? Listen, I'm all about looking back and having warm memories, but don't get stuck in the past. Churches are notorious for getting stuck in one decade when God showed up big. But we got to look back. We got to look back. Paul says it's important to look back. But amnesia and nostalgia will keep you from losing hope. And our next step, come on, church, our next step is hope. Here we go. Number two, write this down. Look up. Look up. Matter of fact, say that out loud with me. This is important because as we look back, it's more important that we look up. We get reminded of who God is. Listen to what Paul says next here in verse 27. He says, and now. And he goes from talking about the past, and now he's talking about the present. He says, and now, compelled by the who? What does he say there? Spirit. Notice Spirit is capitalized. You know what that means? He's talking about a person, and the person is the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, I am compelled by the Spirit that I'm going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what's going to happen to me there. You see, this is where it gets hard to walk in our faith, is when we have to leave something that we know and we have to step into something that we don't know. And he even goes next to say, where I'm going, it's not going to be high and to the right. Where I'm going is actually not going to go good with me. It's not going to go well with me. He says this, he says, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit keeps warning me that prison and hardship are facing me. Come on, this punches prosperity gospel in the face right there. Listen, you can walk with God, and sometimes in walking with God, life gets more challenging. Sometimes walking with God, life becomes more pressure because all of a sudden there's expectation in your life that wasn't there when God wasn't Lord over you. But I promise you this, there's not a better life than to walk with God, even if the next day is a more challenging day. And then I love what he follows it up with. This is like a life verse for me. Verse 24, he says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me because my only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me. What's the task? The task is testifying to the good news of God's grace. Come on. If you're a Christian watching today, this is our assignment. God has made us on purpose for a purpose, and we're to proclaim good news to the whole world. No matter when God changes the geography, we're called to go. Paul, he's reminding us of that call, but he reminds himself of that call when he looks up. When he looks up, when he looks up. Listen, the word that he uses here is a rich word. He says, I am compelled. Compelled is the word, deo. See, you thought that was a song. No, I'm literally true here. The Greek word is deo, and it means to be compelled. It means to be fastened to. It means to be attached. Listen, he's so attached to his relationship with God. Jesus is king over his life, and he is fastened to the work of the Holy Spirit that he can't help go where God's calling him to go. Is that not good? I want my life to be fastened to the Holy Spirit so that when he calls me, I'm willing to go. Listen, I've had the question many times in the last few weeks, once we announced this plan, is like, I need to hear more, Pastor. I'm not convinced you really heard from God. I need to hear more. Listen, I can tell you this was not in my plan because I spent the last 4 to 5 months working to refinance our house to take it to a 10-year note so I could have my house paid off in 10 years. We finalized it finally at the 1st of April. Is that not crazy? And then spring break, here was our plan. Our plan was we're going to go to spring break in Colorado Springs. We're going to go stay at my dad's house, my family in Texas. They're going to drive out. We're going to spend a week together remembering things in our life, and we're going to have a good time in spring break. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Colorado Springs got slammed with snow. And you're thinking, well, it's Colorado, Pastor. Come on, Captain Obvious. Don't they always get snow? Yeah, the mountains do, but not Colorado Springs. And all of a sudden, it shut it down. And my sister that lives in Denver says, you don't want to come. It's going to be closed. So we pivoted. And at the last minute, my wife Pam and Eli and I, we went to South Florida to West Palm to go see our girls at college. As we were there those few days with them, Definitely a different spring break experience, but here we were. On Sunday, we were at their church. They go to a church called Family Church that meets right on the campus of their college. While I was in that service, I got up after the service, went over and talked to the pastor. Pastor Jimmy, their pastor, we actually knew each other in our former days when we were both youth pastors. We used to go to this annual gathering with 25 churches, and he was in Kentucky, I was in Texas, and we knew of each other. And we had actually even talked a few times this last year during the COVID thing. Hey, what's your church up to? What are you doing? And so he knew in my life that I had shared a little bit about some restlessness I'd been dealing with. He knew about me losing my dad and some of the things that were going on with that. And then I shared with him that we had launched our daughters off to college, and we started to realize all three of our girls were never coming back to Virginia. And there was like this restlessness. And so he knew that. We knew that because I shared that with him. And so here I am on a Sunday after church, and he said, Todd, I got a deal for you. How about you leave your church of 1,000s and you come to a church here that we're gonna replant of 100 people. How about you come here and let's start again? And while we're at it, it's about an hour north of our campus here, and it's in an area called the Treasure Coast, and we're looking to plant 100 churches in South Florida. And we've already planted 20 of them, with 13 of them being our campuses where we live preach at these campuses. And that Treasure Coast step, we already have 2 churches in that area. In that area, we're hoping to plant 12 to 15 churches in the next decade. What if you come and help us replant a church there and become the flagship church right on Route 1 and help us as we raise up young pastors to come plant these other 12 to 15 churches? And while you're at it, will you take a pay cut and come do that? So Pam and I walked out of spring break going, oh, I'm not so sure about that one. And all of a sudden, we're kind of in this moment of going, what are we going to do? Let's just talk to the Lord. Let's just begin to seek God and see, is this holy restlessness and this invitation, are they working somewhat together? As we began to pray about it, Jimmy called me up and said, hey, man, are you ready to talk a little bit more? We'd love to have a Zoom call with you. Come on, anybody love Zoom calls? We're going to have our top leaders in the room, and we're going to Zoom call you, and we're going to spend about an hour with you, and we do it. And at the end of that conversation, he's leaning in, I'm leaning in. We said, let's just talk some more. So he said, I want you and Pam to come out for a few days and come see my team and just come spend some days with us. So we went for about 3 days. Showed up there. I went to the lead team. I went to the teaching planning session. I went to their campus pastor meeting, and ended up on Wednesday with our all-staff chapel, and we just kept leaning in and listening and saying, wow, God, are you leading us here? So we come back, and Jimmy calls and said, hey, I want you to take one more step with us. I said, well, okay, I can, but I need to widen the circle a little bit, Pastor. And so I did. I met with my elders here at the church, and I said, God is leading us to entertain something that I need you to pray with me about. I got in the room with my lead staff, and we did the same thing. I said, guys, don't be unsettled here, but I want you to know I'm praying through something here that I want your help and your prayers to join me in it. And then sure enough, a few weeks later, we went back out there. I spent a 4-day retreat with their top staff, and through worship services and through prayer time and listening to the vision mission, I clearly heard God say, this is your next assignment. I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to say yes, Lord, when he speaks to me. And I realize a lot about this makes no sense to you. Trust me, there's a lot of nights I wake up and go, this makes no sense to me either. But then I'm reminded about how I ended up at Mount Ararat. I know I might have some Texas family watching right now today. Do you realize that 19 years ago when I was entertaining this job made absolutely no sense to our family then and there either? Matter of fact, we were having a third child. Lexi came 2 weeks late, and it put me coming out here for an interview 3 days after Lexi was born. And when I showed up here, D. Witten, I love Pastor D. He picks me up at DCA Airport, and my first experience with you was I-95 to come all the way down here to this precious campus. It took us a couple days to get down that road. And once we got into the county, he drove me all over the county. I didn't know the names of the road then, but after I got off Stefanica, I thought I was about to throw up in this pastor's car. I said, can you pull over? I need to go to the restroom. I got in the bathroom of McDonald's on Shelton Shop, splashed some water in my face and said, get it together. Don't you throw up in this guy's car. He dropped me back at the hotel and said, we're going to pick you up a few hours later. We're going to do the interview in my home tonight. I called my wife. I said, babe, I said, I should not have come on this trip. I'm so sorry to leave you home. I made a mistake. There is no way we're moving here. I'll be home tomorrow. Sure enough, I got picked up. They drove me to Dee Witten's house, and Dee and Jane hosted me that night with the search team, and they start telling the Mounterat story. And I had to call my wife when I got home after that conversation and say, I think I got it wrong. We're coming after all. And so we did. It made no sense. We moved out here. Made no sense. I get here, and that year we moved up here was the year of the DC sniper on I-95. That was the year where it snowed so bad. I couldn't sell my house in Texas. We lived in a two-bedroom apartment with three kids and a dog, and it snowed and shut the whole place down for two solid weeks. And then to make it better, that spring we had a hurricane, and it shut down for another week. We had family call us and say, are you ready to come home yet? But we were compelled by the Spirit. We were supposed to be here. And then Dee Witten quit after 16 years being the pastor. And we stayed faithful here for another year and a half. And I had no idea that God was going to invite me in to become your lead pastor for these last 16 years. Listen, the posture that God wants in our lives is, yes, Lord. And it makes no sense to go from a church that I know, a church that I love in the thousands to a church of 100 people and to take a pay cut. But you know what? I don't want to be anywhere that God's not leading me to go. And where he's leading me to go, it's yes, 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 Lord. Listen, if God's going to be that personal with me, I am convinced right now he's being that personal with somebody. Your next pastor has a holy restlessness going on right now. And I pray you pray for him. I pray that he wakes up in the middle of the night and God is stirring his heart for you and stirring his heart for this work. And I cannot wait to come back and to meet the next pastor of this church to say, look at what God is going to do next. But see, it's not just about the next pastor. I'm talking to you today, and I want you today, just as God's personal with me, I don't have special access to God that you don't have either. Listen, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And if you want to be compelled, guess what the Bible calls you to do? To seek first the kingdom of God, to seek his righteousness. And God says, all these things will be added unto you. So it doesn't make sense sometimes to say yes, but I promise you that's when life gets fun. So here I am on a Sunday, family on the front row. I'm already wearing a Florida shirt. I've already taken my socks off. I'm ready to roll. Let's go. Let's go. I don't know what it's like to live in Florida, but I know this. I can't wait to get there and preach people into the kingdom of God by preaching the message of Jesus Christ. Listen, God is at work. Praise God. But see, we lose sight of hope when we don't look up. Listen, the verse that God's given to my family, and I love this, when Jesus is trying to teach us of what the kingdom of God is like, he knows we're going to be slow, and he's going to have to reteach it and give us pictures that can make sense. I love this because we've claimed this. Since we're going to an area called the Treasure Coast, I thought about Jesus once in Matthew 13, verse 44, where he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who finds treasure buried in a field. With joy in his heart, he returns home and sells everything, and then he redeems that field. Can I tell you, we're literally practicing that verse right now as the Gaston family. We are selling everything. We're trying to do more purging than packing. Can I just tell you something? Because some of y'all are professional movers. Y'all do this a lot. Pam and I, we don't do moving a lot. We moved from Texas And I remember driving away from Texas in that U-Haul with all the youth group in my front yard crying tears. I cried for 30 miles driving out of Dallas County because those kids didn't want to let me go then and there. And I came up here not knowing how to make sense of it. And then here I am 19 years later trying to pack up again. And you know what I've realized? We've collected a lot of junk over 19 years. I realized as we went to that basement, that closet, oh my word, my wife has memorialized every toy we ever gave our kids. I love her because she's a sentimental one, but we've kept every Polly Pocket, every American Girl, the Dora Talking Dollhouse, I mean Barbies galore. We got 8 boxes of stuffed animals, come on. I'm telling you, it's time to downsize. And of course, my kids quickly say, well, what about all your Star Wars figures? I said, oh, those are going with me. I own the house. But you know what? It's time to sell everything and go redeem the field on this next assignment. And it's happening. It's real. Last Sunday, I left here, and all I wanted to do is get home and watch my Mavericks, my Dallas Mavericks play. God rest their souls. I got on my couch to see that final Clipper game. My wife comes in the room and said, get up! Get off the couch! I said, why? She said, somebody's coming to buy the couch. She sold that couch. I sat on the floor and watched the rest of the second half. But when God says, go, yes, Lord. Can I remind y'all, church, we're a church that's for one more. We simplified it because we wanted it to be portable to you. We said we're for one more. Why? Because we're going to be people that invite people to church and to Jesus Christ. That's the kind of people we're going to be. That nobody is going to live in this county, live in this area of Nova and not be invited to know Jesus. We're going to just keep relentlessly inviting. And then we're going to keep gathering. We're going to keep gathering for worship. We're going to keep gathering in life group. We're going to keep gathering together because the Bible calls us to gather. And then we're going to give in ways that seem ridiculous. We're going to put God first and Lord over everything. And we're going to give to him because we believe we want his kingdom to expand through us. And then we're going to volunteer and we're going to show the world that we're here for something greater than ourselves, and we're gonna make a difference. We're for one more. You remember when you're the one? Come on, do you know the one? But can I tell you, in this last year and a half, our mission has gotten tested, just like every church in America. And some of you, you've stopped inviting. Some of you have stopped gathering. Some of you have stopped giving. Some of you have stopped volunteering. Listen, if I could give you a push on my final Sunday, don't stop. Don't stop following after this vision and mission to being for one more. Because he is the one worth living for and dying for. Let's keep being that church, no matter who is the pastor of this church. But sometimes we got to look up. Come on, last one, here we go. Number 3. Look out. Look out. Look out. Look out. That's exactly what Paul does here on these final words. He gives a warning. Look at this, verse 25. He says, now I know that none of you among whom I've gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. He's announcing physically he's not coming back. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Come on, I was faithful to what God called me to do. And I didn't hesitate to proclaim that. But he says this, keep watch though. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. Come on, keep watch of each other. Of which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. Now again, he's talking to the leaders of this church. He's talking to the elders of this church. He's talking to the overseers of this church. And he calls them to be shepherds over the church of God. But don't miss this next phrase. The church of God, which is bought with his own blood. The his is Jesus. Come on, who owns the church? Jesus does. And why does he own the church? Because he bought it with a price. Come on, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, right? Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid for this church. Jesus is the head shepherd of this church. And we celebrate that today. We celebrate that today. I'm just grateful he let me be an under shepherd here for 16 years as your lead pastor. But look out. Look out, because there's some things that are gonna come around. He says, I know after I leave, savage wolves are gonna come in among you, and they will not spare anyone in the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and will begin to distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you of the night and day with tears. He ends with a warning to look out. This is important because it's gonna be a hard season. This next season is gonna be a little different. This next season, you're not gonna have a lead shepherd, and it's gonna be a little different until God replaces this role. But it doesn't mean different has to be destructive. It doesn't mean different has to divide. Matter of fact, listen, God gave us some verses as a church to memorize in this year. Do you remember those verses that I challenged you with? Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. Do you remember those words? Come on, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Remember those words? To be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Can I tell you that's going to be required in this interim time? To make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Come on, men and women, rise up. Let's not let the enemy divide our house. But there's going to be some dangers you're going to experience. And you know the dangers firsthand because you're experiencing this in your own faith journey. It's the dangers that are working around us. Y'all know we live in a world that's broken. Y'all know we live in a world where people choose evil over good. Y'all know we live in a world where there is sin, sickness, and death. We live and there's danger around us. Don't miss it. It doesn't have to own you. It doesn't have to paralyze you, but don't be unaware of the dangers around. And then it gets worse sometimes when the dangers come closer to home and they get among us. It says that in this next season, you better hold on to the truth of God. You better know the word of God, because some may come and try to distort the truth. Come on, you know better, church. We know better, church. But it's not just the dangers around us or the dangers among us that are the scariest. It's the dangers within us. Man, I realize how I'm not immune of this, even in this season of faithfulness. Even in this season of stepping out in faith, I am feeling the danger within. And this gets more real today with my family in the front row. Man, y'all know how stressful it is to pack up a house, to step away from what you know, to the unknown, to not know if it's gonna work out or not, but that's not the litmus. And at the same time, can we still be a family that loves and forgives and cares for each other? I tell you what happens when you add pressure to anything, it starts to show where the cracks are. I'd love to be bold today in this pulpit today and say I'm so mature and God's done such a great work that there's no room to grow. But you know what I've realized? Maybe this next step is not just for my next step in career and in serving a church, but maybe it's to bring greater healing in a family that still needs healing. I got convicted so bad this last week because my kids said some truthful things that I needed to hear. But it showed the dangers within. I love how God is at work in my family and my kids' lives. I love when I get to hear the Holy Spirit from my own kids' stories because they have a relationship where they're compelled by the Spirit too. And I'm hoping this next season we can do some better forgiveness and some better reconnecting and some better loving, because God's not done with our family either. Gaston's. And I'm praying that we'll keep seeing that the best posture is to keep saying, yes, Lord, even when it costs us something. Sometimes the greatest cost, men in the room, it's our own pride of having to have it all figured out. And so many times in faith, you don't know anything until you step out. And so as we challenge one another of looking up, don't be unaware to look out. You gotta pay attention to what's around us so that we don't get stuck in what's coming next. Listen, these words were so true for Paul in that day, in his day. I think they might even be more true for us now, today, in our day. What are we wanting to see? What are we wanting to know? Because our next step is hope. Our next step is hope. Our next step is hope. And let's not lose sight. Let's not lose sight of hope. I'm going to ask the worship teams to come back out to our stages at both places. And even as we have a chance to kind of end this, listen, I know I didn't want to get too emotional today. And I don't know who out there, I heard there were some bets against me today because y'all know how passionate I am. And I don't know if I won the over-under today. I hope if you bet against me, you lost today. But I do feel things at deep levels, but I think you do too. And when I thought about a lot of things that God's kind of putting together with us at this church and the way that you've loved me in these recent days of knowing that I was leaving you, I've been so grateful for every email, every text message, every card, every gift, every word. It just is a reminder of how faithful God has been in these days together. And sometimes I love that we sang about God's faithfulness. That's what will be the fuel to help us in our next step of courage that God's got in front of us. But I thought about one story, one gift that was given to me that I thought, oh, this is the perfect way to end a message like this today. And here it is. If you've ever been in my office, you'll know this. I have this cross wall. Maybe I think we got a picture of it. And these crosses have been crosses I've picked up in international travels, on mission trips. And sometimes after people saw my wall, they'd come back and give me a cross and say, this is from this country or this is from that country. And I add to my cross wall in my office. And I had this wall. And so I came in about a week ago and I had this box on my desk with twine kind of tied against it. And so I undid the twine. I opened up the lid of this box and there's this old looking cross in it. And you could tell this cross has a story. It has some history, some age. And it had these nails in it and it was kind of twisted around in it. I don't even know, let's just leave it there for a minute. I want you to see how kind of beat up the wood is. And in it was this note card, this letter for me. And so I opened it up and he was in the last hour and I struggled looking at him. He's not in this hour. But Jim Mallory is who gave me this cross. If you know Jim, because he's one of our great disciple makers here at this church, then you probably already know a little bit about his story, but let me just share it with you because I think this will touch your life today like it did mine. He said, Pastor Todd, I've been in your office a few times. I know you got this beautiful cross wall, so I wanted to give you a cross. Now, knowing your cross wall, this is not gonna be the best looking cross on your wall, but this cross has meaning to me. And I want to share with you the story behind it, and hopefully this cross can maybe have some meaning to you. He said, Pastor, I made this cross when I was 13 years old. He said, I became a Christian as a teenager, and I was all in my faith. And I put these two pieces of wood together, and I made this, and I gave it to my dad. I was so proud of that gift to him. But if you know Jim's story, it's this. Somewhere in his teenage years, he said no to God and he walked away from his faith for 3 decades. He had nothing to do with walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. And the reason he ends up connected to Jesus and ends up at this church is because of the prayers of his wife. Listen, I don't know who that's for today. God hears prayers. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Because that was that one Sunday where Jim told his wife, I'll go with you to church today. And he sat out here, just like you're sitting out here today. And on that day, he heard the message of Jesus. He heard the message of grace. He heard the love of God, and it wrecked his life all over again. He said, it was like I was meeting Jesus for the first time all over again. He said, I wept the whole way home. I went home and I laid down in the den of my living room and I cried out to God. And I said, God, if there's a way, I want to walk with you again. I want to live for you again. Listen, the last 9.5 years, Jim has not turned back in his faith. And he has become one of our greatest disciple makers because he can't let go of the grace of Jesus Christ. He said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but when I started walking with God again now as an adult, my dad returned the cross to me. And I hung it in my office, and it's been hanging over me these last several years. And when I heard you were leaving, I wanted to give you that cross. Whew. Is that not powerful? He said, I want to give you that cross because I've heard your testimony about how you got reached with God and his great love when you were 14 years old. And I made this cross when I was 13 years old, and I want that cross to be with you to be reminded of the mission. So don't ever get weary and tired and think what you're doing is not making a difference. Oh man, I turned this cross over and it had his initials, 13-year-old Jim, JM 1971, still there on the back of that cross. And then I saw new handwriting across the top of the cross. He wrote his name, Jim Mallory, and he wrote, one more. It don't get any sweeter than that right there. One more. So on my final Sunday with you today, come on, Fredericksburg. Come on, Stafford campus. Come on, wherever you're watching online. Can I ask you a question today? Do you remember when you were the one? Because just what if today, this final sermon here, you're realizing as your heart's racing fast is that you're the one that this service was for today. Come on, rest assured, this day's not about Todd Gaston. This day is about Jesus Christ being Lord of all. And today, if you're the one, he moved the mountain today so that you today could say, yes, Lord. You today could begin and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can I tell you, you made the reason today. You're my difference today of why we held this service today, so that today you could be that one. And maybe yours is like Jim. It's not to begin for the first time. Maybe yours is to return. It's to come home. It's to begin to love and to hold on and to be compelled again by the Holy Spirit. Come on, who am I praying for today? Both campuses, bow your heads and your hearts. Father God, thank you for what you've spoken over our house today. You love us that much that you've made this Sunday personal. God, I am so grateful that you let me become a part of the Mount Ararat story. Thank you, God, for 19 years. Thank you, God, for 16 years of being the lead shepherd. Thank you for my family, God. My ultimate ministry is on that front row. But God, we are eternally marked because of this family called the Mount. But today, God, I think you've just invited somebody to join the family, and I can't wait to meet who they are. Come on, who are you today right now? You know today is your day to trust and believe in Jesus. Come on, with your head bowed, with your eyes closed, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna give you some words. It's called prayer. And I just want you to simply have a conversation with God today. Say this to God. Say, God, you have clearly spoken to my life today. I realize I need you. I need Jesus. I am a sinner and I need a Savior. So free me, God, so that I might live for you. Thank you for being for the one. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Come on, your head bowed and your eyes closed right now online. Look up at me. If you just prayed and believed right there, let us know. Click that button. We want to send you a Bible to mark this moment. Listen, if you're at Fredericksburg, Stafford with me right now, I'm going to count to three. Listen, God's already done the great work. He just reached you and found you and saved you. I want you to show me who you are so I can give you a card. And after this service, I'm going to give you a Bible to mark this moment of your faith. But I can't do that if I don't know who you are. Come on, don't be afraid. I'm going to count to three and hold your hand high and say, that was me today, Pastor. I am the one. Come on. One, two, three. Right now. Hi. That was me. That was me, Pastor. That was me, Pastor. Come on. Praise God. That was me. Anybody else? Come on. That was me. Come on. You got to move. Come on, worship team. Let's go. That was me. Anybody else? That was me. Praise God. Praise God. Right here. It was me. Father God, thank you that your arm's not too short to do the work that you did this morning. God, lead us as we continue to lean into you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, Pastor. Todd Pierper is going to share with us how this story ends. And we've got some prayer partners that are going to join us on stage too.
Hey guys, God is in this space, in this place today, is he not? Let's give God a round of applause, man. To God be the glory. Hey, listen to Paul's words at the end of the chapter there. It says, at the end of Paul's words, they gathered around Paul, and in a heart-to-heart, they prayed over the next steps along with their next step. And the step is hope. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down, and all of them prayed, and they wept as they embraced him and kissed him. It's not going to go on the screen now. As they embraced him and kissed him, what grieved them most was this statement, that they would not see him face to face again. They accompanied him to the ship. Mount family, would you stand and join us as we pray over the pastor and the Gaston family? Reach out your arms, guys. Father, we thank you for today, Father. Thank you for this day that you've created before eternity, Father. And we trust in you. We trust in your Spirit. Father, we trust in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your presence here today. But, Father, thank you for this Gaston family, Father. Thank you for our head shepherd, our leader. Thank you for his bride, his wife, and his kids. Father, thank you for his girls. And thank you that you wanted to extend his family even to Eli. Father, thank you for Eli. Thank you that he makes the Gaston family better. Father, thank you don't leave anybody out. Father, I think of the family church down in Florida. Father, would you just continue to bless the family church? Would you just use the Gastons in a special way to reach that community, Father? Thank you for the Mount, though, Father. We trust in your Spirit right here, Father, and your presence right here. Continue to move within us and through us and to us. We need you.
I just want to share this verse. It's the verse of today. It actually came through. I know a lot of you got it, but it said, and so there is no division in the body, but all its different parts have the same concern for one another. If one part of the body suffers, all of the other parts suffer with it. If one part is praised, all of the other parts share its happiness. So God, as one church, as one body in Christ, Lord God, We are so thankful for the time that you have given Pastor Todd to us, Lord God, but we will not forget the mission that you have placed on each and every one of our lives here in this sanctuary, Lord God. So God, as we move forward, we will continue to be one body of Christ, Lord God, and we will be for one more, Lord God, continuing the vision that Pastor Todd has given us for 19 years, Lord God, continuing the vision that was set in this church 100 years ago. Lord God, we will keep you first in our lives, Lord God. We will keep listening to your word, Lord God. We would be sensitive to your voice, Lord God, always following you, Lord God, and walking in obedience and in faith, Lord God. We pray for every step that we take moving forward, Lord God. We pray for the next pastor that would be here on this stage, Lord God, preaching your goodness, Lord God. We pray that you would fill him, Lord God, and we thank you and we give you glory right now, Lord God, for him and whoever it is, who it is to come, Lord God, and how he will pour out his spirit, Lord God. We pray a special anointing on him. We pray an anointing on this family, Lord God, as they travel, Lord God. We pray for their safety. We pray that Pastor Todd will continue to follow the Holy Spirit and speak your truth, Lord God, and speak your love, your grace, your mercy, Lord God. And God, we pray for his family as they stand by his side. We pray for his wife, Lord God, as she prays for her husband, Lord God, and she continues and never stops praying for him and her family, Lord God, as she is the rock of the family, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would just use them as a family, Lord God, as they go to Florida. We pray for that church, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for those who are going to welcome him with open arms. And we just pray your will be done, God. Always your will be done, Lord God, in this church, in Florida, around the world, Lord God. Your will be done, Lord God. You have everything in control. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that you've given this church. Lord, we thank you for this great shepherd who has led us, who has discipled us, who has run the race with us, who has baptized us and led us to you. Let us put our trust in you, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless Todd and Pam, that you'd bless their children, that you would bless their children's children to the fourth and fifth generation. Lord, thank you for this family. Thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can be here and we can send him off, that we will be able to do this with great joy, even though it hurts. Lord, thank you once again, and I pray this in your son's precious name. Amen.